Ron Rodas, well, how are you?
Good evening, Marty. I'm doing great. I really enjoyed last evening the thunder and lightning storm we had that woke me up in the middle of the night. We had another one come through this afternoon, a late May storm. So enjoyed that. Now I'm looking forward to talking to you and Bill this evening.
All right. Well, let's talk a little River Islands. Colleen is going to come on later in the show to talk to Colleen Edwards from River Islands. But, well, I'll tell you something. After listening to her and reading all this stuff, I'm dead serious. You know, the 114 degrees of Arizona is getting a little old to me. Maybe River Islands isn't my future. Who knows?
Yeah, Marty, I think it'd be perfect for you. It does get hot down there in summer. You're close to the Bay Area. You can stay active with all the responsibilities you have on the radio. We know all the pluses it has over there. No 120-degree temperatures. And, you know, just like you're doing now, you know, a lot more people are going to be doing their jobs from home. And even that makes it even that much more attractive. Everywhere I go, you know, I talk to people and they're curious how business is going to change in the future. So River Islands gets more attractive by the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the fact of doing the show and then walking outside and kayaking or going on 5,000 acres. So for whatever, she convinced me that to take a look at it. So I like it. I like it. Hey, what's your week like, by the way? As you know, this is June 1st is on Monday. If there is a spring training, you've got a lot of work to do to get everybody in shape. Are you literally, as coaching staff, getting together more often now?
Well, we've been getting together routinely. You know, we play that OOTB baseball three nights a week, and we cover a lot of ground. You know, the game only takes us about an hour to go through the situations, how we do it. But, you know, we cover a lot of other things. We talk about the players, you know, the workouts. You know, coaches are in communication with the players, trying to keep them in the loop on what our plans are when we do have a spring training. So we've given that a lot of thought. And we've tried to convey to the players, you know, what kind of shape we expect them to be in. Because, you know, with a shortened spring training, only 3 weeks, we'd like to get, you know, certain aspects of spring training going a little quicker than normal. You know, the season will be upon you. I mean, you can only do so much with the pitchers. They can only throw so much. But if our regulars come in with their legs in better shape and their arms in better shape, that's going to benefit us to start the season.
How you doing in the computer game?
We're holding our own. We're holding our own. We're doing just fine. You know, it's the result isn't really the thing. That's computer generated. But, you know, it's situations that come up. It's communication with each other, getting to know each other and getting to know our personnel. I'll be honest with you. You know, you get a better feel for your personnel. Just like when you start the season and you start playing games. Now, of course, there's no performance related, right? It's a video game. So you're not really worried about what the computer generates in that regard. But the situations, you get to see how you want to use your guys and your own personnel and get to know your fellow coaches a lot better. So it's been going well.
Now, before we bring Bill in, one last question to you. Now, you're the third base coach. What do you learn from the computer game that helps you as a third base coach?
Well, you know, basically what I'm learning is my fellow coaches, you know, discussions, see, you know, their philosophies, what they believe in. There's a lot of discussions about analytics. You know, I'm trying to learn as much of the analytics and how they see the game and, you know, where I can use it, how I see the game. So that's more what I'm learning opposed to the game itself and the personnel on the field. You know, I've been in the league for a couple of years, so, you know, we've played our division, and I know most of those players pretty well. So that always helps, having some history in the league and knowing the guys you're going up against.
All right. So Yoelmer Sanchez in the computer game, you're not worried how fast he is from second to home, I guess.
No, you know, I just send them, Marty. Two outs, I send everybody. If the computer throws me out, I say, we got to change the computer. The computer's wrong. That guy can't throw. Or a guy drops down a bunt on us or something. I said, that guy never bunts. So, you know, I have my fun with the computer and tell them they need to reprogram it once in a while.
Okay, all right. All right. This is what you do. This is what's going on. Very good. All right, let's bring in Bill Lasky. Bill, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Marty. That was interesting, which I was just listening to about Ron. I mean, us old guys, man, working the computer and doing all the things you're telling me, Ron. Boy, I think the education at a time off has definitely helped you.
Hey, Bill, how you doing this evening? Well, you know, it's a computer age, you know. I mean, I've never heard of Zoom before this year. And, of course, everybody knows about Zoom and how it's going. But, you know, you keep pushing forward. We keep evolving. You keep adjusting. That's the nature of the beast. So, yeah, well, hopefully we can get this thing together where we can play a real game or at least a real spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do that. Well, this week a lot of players were released all over baseball, and I ask you this question as a manager, which you've had to do. You've probably had to release young players and end their dream, and I think a lot of that happened this week, and the minor leagues are being cut back. We know that's going to happen. And Bill, for you as well, you know, knowing teammates that got cut, it's never a simple thing. And you guys, we've really never talked about it. Well, as a manager, I imagine you had to break the news to a lot of people. And Bill, you probably lost some good teammates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, Bill will tell you that's the most difficult part of the game. You know, you as a manager or a coach, you get close to these guys, and it's just not, you know, it's their livelihood, it's a job, but it's a dream too for a lot of them to get to the major leagues. And you know, I've had to do it at every level, A ball, double A, triple A. I've had to do it. I haven't had to do it in the big leagues, and it just comes with the territory, and it's very, very difficult. But you know, it's part of it. We all live with that performance related part of baseball, whether we're coaching or we're playing, we know it's there. But to your point, Marty, it's a really hard thing to do, and it's very difficult. Bill, have you had to do any of that? I mean, your good friends get let go. That's another side of it, Bill?
Yeah, I would say that way, Ron. Of course, I never managed or coached in the minor leagues, but I've seen so many managers saying that's the darkest day that they have at the end of spring training. And you telling that story, it goes on throughout the year. You know, guys are getting released in the minor leagues left and right if you don't hit, and they've signed somebody else and they're going to give another shot. But, you know, to tell a player that their baseball career could be over, to tell a player that you got to go find another job with somebody else, those are hard words to tell anybody, especially, like you said, Ron, every player that plays, your goal is to get to the big leagues. Going through the minor leagues, it's great. Hey, I'm a minor league player. But trying to get to AAA and trying to get to the big leagues, it is very difficult. And as a manager and coach, those are hard days on you guys. Now, on the other side is your friends. Sure, you're bonding with players left and right as spring training breaks and you break in with teams and your friendships and you get to know your families and things like that. It is a hard time for friendships, too. But, you know, this whole week watching all these teams release minor league players, and then I started looking at them, a lot of young players, A-ball, rookie ball players, but there has been some prospects in those groups, too. And I just think they're just trying to weed out the younger players in the lower leagues. So we'll see if that's going to help or hurt baseball as we continue through the next year or so.
Well, what round were you drafted in?
I was drafted in the 16th round, and, you know, to Bill's point, there's two sides of it, obviously the business side, and as a manager or coach, you got to let guys go. And, you know, when you're in A-ball, a lot of players get an opportunity to play A-ball, but they don't progress. You know, the ones that really are tough for me, when you get to triple-A ball and you have guys that are putting up good numbers, never got a chance to get to the big leagues, and they're always performing, but they never have given that opportunity. And, you know, they're usually older. They usually have families. You know, when they're younger, it's a little easier for a player to move on. They haven't been playing for 7, 8, 9, 10 years like some of these minor leaguers do. And it's really hard to tell a triple-A guy who's never gotten the taste of the big leagues that, you know, it's over. Now their dream's crushed and they've been doing it for 10 years. So that's the most difficult thing. And and now with the minor leagues being, well, this year with the COVID, I mean, but, you know, there are plans in the works to, you know, cut teams out of minor league baseball. There's only 5 rounds of the draft this year. And, you know, a guy like myself, maybe I wouldn't be sitting here today as a major league coach, because there's not going to be as many opportunities for players to play and places for them to play. So it's really going to change the landscape in baseball.
I believe so, too. I just think what they're doing is, as Ron was saying, get rid of some of the lower A-ball teams. And you're talking about 10, 15 guys, each organization gone. They're out of baseball. And as the draft going only five rounds, you're going to see a bunch of guys signing for that $20,000 bonus thing after the fifth round. And, I'm sure teams are already lining up their thoughts on that draft. It's going to be interesting how that draft's going to be. Are they going to pick more high school kids this year? Are they going to stick with college? The more progressive player, we'll see. And that's what I'm interested in seeing, how these teams are going to rally around only five rounds in that amateur draft.
Where did you get drafted, Bill?
I got drafted a secondary phase, which meant that they used to draft in June, and then they used to draft in January. And the January ones were usually junior college kids or high school kids that didn't sign, and they went to a junior college. I was a junior college guy, so I got drafted first by Detroit in a January trade or the January draft, and then the following January, Kansas City took me. So it was a different type of draft for players that got drafted that said no and went on to college. So it was they don't have that anymore. It was mostly the guys that were right in that teetering high school, junior college, don't want to go to four-year school. And for me, I just wanted to pitch. That's why I went to a JC, and it ended up working out for me.
Boy, it's interesting, and we'll move on to another subject, but we have a lot of people listening to the show, high school coaches, college coaches, Dave Lawn down in Arizona, Steve Warren in El Cerrito. And isn't it funny, Woe, at every level, whether you're a parent or a little league coach or a high school coach, you have to break the news to someone that they're going to be released in some way, and it's just never simple. So to shrink the minor leagues and lose those opportunities, I think eventually will bite baseball, because I think development is the key to the game. So I'll leave it at that. 2007, we had one of those wonderful baseball moments that we love to talk about. Alex Rodriguez playing for the Yankees, and it's a pop-up to the third baseman for Toronto. And as A-Rod goes by the third baseman, he screams, "I got it! I got it!" And the third baseman lets it drop. And, boy, A-Rod took a lot of heat for that one. What do you guys say? Bill, you could start with that one. What do you think on that?
Well, the first thing you hear, because I don't remember, it would be a Bush League, because that's what Bush League things you do, and you just try to disrupt somebody, you get them out of character, and it worked that time. But I'm surprised a player like Alex Rodriguez would do something like that, but it worked. But at the same time, if you ask me, that's a total Bush League move by him.
Yeah, Bill, I have to agree with you. You know, coming up in the minor leagues, you've seen it all and you've heard it all. And, you see stuff like that happen in the minor leagues, right? People are real competitive. They want to win. They want to win the game. And when you do something like that, you find out, even in the minor leagues, you know what? You're going to start a fight, and that's not the way you play the game, because it's Bush League and disrespectful. And you just don't do those things. And to see it happen at the major league level is quite amazing, honestly. I remember when that happened, just like yesterday, and especially with all the media and all the scrutiny on everything that happens. You're going to get barbecued if you do something like that, because there's really no place for that in a game.
Boy, has anyone been rehabbed in the public opinion better than A-Rod for everything this guy pulled? I mean, honestly, I think he's number one in the world.
Well, you know, he's the first one to sign. Bill, he was the first one to sign that big contract. I remember when he got that contract, I was doing clinics in Ireland. As a matter of fact, I went over to Ireland and we were on with the press there. And they, that was all they wanted to talk about, was how much money that A-Rod got to sign that contract. And of course, it's blown away today's game. But I remember, when you start making that kind of money, boy, you get a lot of attention, don't you?
You do. And that was one of those big ones where I think every baseball player that ever played went, "How much is he getting?" I mean, it was a surprise at the dollar amount. But, now that him and J-Lo are talking about buying the New York Mets, I see how he's one-sided. He's changed a little bit about his views on going on the owner's side a little bit more now when he structures his answers. So you know, Alex has always been about Alex, and I think that's what's happening right now. And I think he really thinks that he's going to be able to get in and be an owner of the Mets. And if he does, good luck. He's got J-Lo by the side of him.
Wow. Yeah, amazing story. Amazing story. Well, this week you did some Junior Giants stuff. I think you took questions, and you sent me a picture where you're holding a little sign with your name on it. Was that actually shown to the kids?
Well, this wasn't for kids. This was on Reddit. So I don't know if you're
all
familiar
right. What
with
was
Reddit.
That?
Basically, well, it's through our PR department. They made it easy for me. You know, basically, you put out on Instagram and all the social media sites that I'm going to be available for anybody to ask me questions. And it's posted before, and that's what that picture and that sign was. And it's done through Reddit, the site that they have. So basically, people, you know, they type in their questions. I probably had 100 questions. I maybe only got 20 of them to answer them, you know. And you read the question, and you type it on the computer. So they get to ask you questions, basically. And I think some of our other coaches have done it already. I know Boach did it in 2015. Because I didn't know anything about it when the Giants asked me if I would do this. You know, I did a little bit of research and saw that this had been going on for a few years.
Well, it looked like
so
a mugshot.
What were some of the questions, Ron? Can you give us a couple of questions, stumper questions you answered?
Well, there weren't too many stumpers, but, you know, I had a person reach out from Colchester, Connecticut, my hometown, and just said, hey, wanted to say hello, so that was fun. But, you know, the first question off the bat was, hey, would you have sent Alex Gordon in 2015 World Series, 14 World Series? And they asked Kai that question, our bench coach, I think, when he was on it a couple weeks ago, and Kai said he was going to leave it up to me, and sure enough, I got the question. So I immediately said, absolutely not. He would have been dead as a doornail. So, you know, just stuff like that. And there were some very interesting questions, and it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
well, as I said, the picture looked like a mugshot with you with your name underneath it. So that was that. Another guy who was in the news this week, and it's just an anniversary, but I think you knew him. You both knew him. And he was a catcher for the Giants and Dick Dietz back in 1968. And he became very famous. Don Drysdale was going for his fifth straight shutout, and he was going to break Walter Johnson's record, which he eventually did of 56, 58 scoreless innings in a row. And it got to be the ninth inning, and the Dodgers were winning in a shutout with the Giants, and the Giants got the bases loaded, nobody out. And Dick Dietz came up. He was the catcher for the Giants, and Drysdale hit him in the arm. And unbelievably, the umpire, who was just a young umpire in those days, and that was Harry Wendelstedt, the father of Hunter Wendelstedt, said that Dick Dietz didn't get out of the way. And he wouldn't send them the first base, and the run didn't score. And Drysdale then retired Dick Dietz on a pop-up and got the next two guys and got his shutout. So, number one, crazy situation. I don't know if you guys have seen that before. And two, you both knew Dick Dietz. How about that?
Yeah, you want to go ahead, Bill?
Yeah, you know, first of all, there's no doubt Wendelstedt never got any help on that call, for sure. He should have, because he was home plate umpire. He took jurisdiction over. That surprises me, because usually a guy gets hit in the arm, he backs off a little bit. I would love to see if he did move into the ball or not. That would be the only thing that I would question on that. But Dick Dietz, one of the greatest baseball guys' minds, knew him when he managed in the minor leagues, got to talk to him a lot in spring training. But a very good catcher in his day, as well as a very good educator as a coach and manager.
Yeah, Bill, I can't disagree with that. You know, I first want to address what happened with the umpire not giving him first base. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've seen this with the Giants. You know, Chase Utley was notorious for leaning into him. And there's been a number of guys that stick their elbow out. Most of the time, the umpire doesn't make the call. You know, even when it's obvious, they don't make the call. Now with video replay, they will. So I was surprised that Wendelstedt called that in that situation. To me, I think he was probably a Dodger fan and a Drysdale fan, but that's the only thing I could think of. But back to the mule, Dick Dietz. I was lucky enough, my first year managing in San Jose, he was my coach. I had Dick Dietz as my hitting coach, and I had Gary Lucas, a left-handed pitcher, pitched for the Angels, sure. bounced around. Bill, you probably remember Gary. I could sure not do. Have had two better people to work with, and I don't know if the Giants did that by design, said let's surround Wotus with two quality people to help him out. But I was real, real lucky. I had a great time with Dick. Dick was, you know, there's nobody better on earth than Dick Dietz. And I could tell you story after story, but I'll say one real quick. We were in Salinas. And we're playing the Salinas Club, and Dick was the coach, and it was about a month into the season. This is my first year managing. And, of course, I was high-strung, you know. I was very excitable and wanted to win and gung-ho and all that type of stuff. And, well, Dick got the third base coach of signs one day. And so Dick told me the signs, and the next pitch, the guy put on a steal, and I started yelling at the umpire. And Dick's going, whoa, take it easy now. Take it easy. Don't give it away. And I'll never forget that. But Dick was a great man, and I had a lot of fun working with him.
Yeah. You know, you're such a calm man now. It's like Eddie Montague. You know, you're such a calm man now. I just can't picture you being that kind of manager.
Well, you know, I was, and of course, you got to remember when we came up, and we were watching Billy Martin and Earl Weaver, and you know, kicking dirt and everything on everybody. You know, you thought that's the way you did. Of course, you're new, you're doing it. You want to be successful. Of course, you know, I spent the 8 years in the minor leagues, and then my coaching for 23 years. So, you know, you learn to take the emotion out of the game. Plus, I'm not the manager at the major league level. I'm a coach, and out of respect to the manager and everybody involved, you don't want to step on anybody's toes. But no, you know, those are the way. That's the way we used to do it. And I laugh now because there's a lot of umpires around the league that I've kicked dirt on. Big Ted Barrett, you know, the boxer. He grew up in San Jose. One day I tried to kick the infield grass on him. I was kicking grass on him. We laugh about that to this day when we get together.
You know, all I got to say is when I hear all those stories about you being wild and resistant in your A ball and double A, all I can remember is the old bull and the young bull story. And I think you fit the young bull very well. And now you're the old bull, Ron. So you have all that experience and that knowledge, and you have those nerves of steel. So that's what I'm going to call you, the old bull now.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'll tell you, you've got to learn to take the emotion out of it because can get the best of you, no doubt.
Well, yeah, very good. You know, the other there's good anniversaries this weekend of parts of baseball, and this one really got me, and we've never talked about it on the air. But Buck Showalter, woe with Arizona, bases loaded, and Barry Bonds comes up, and he intentionally walks him in the ninth inning to get to Brent Main, who apparently crushes one the center field to end the game. But what are you guys thinking about when Buck does that, and what do you think of it?
Yeah, well, I was coaching third at the time, and I was glancing to the dugout when Bonds come up. I wasn't expecting him to walk Bonds, and you know when he put up the four fingers, you saw the look on Barry's face. I mean, he was shocked himself, and of course, I was in the moment. But about 30 seconds later, you start thinking through the scenario, and it made sense. You know, I just credit Buck Showalter. You know him, guys like Tony La Russa that have the guts to do something like that, because when you're on the road like Arizona was, you know, you play to win the game. You don't play for ties. For instance, you know, if you're at home and you got a tie game, you might bunt the guy to second base to try to, you know, score the run and get the winning run in there. But when you're on the road, typically you don't sacrifice a guy to second to tie the game. You try to score two runs to win the game because you don't have a last at bat. So basically what Buck did was say, well, you know, if Brent Main gets a hit, the game's tied. You're going to assume two guys are going to score. The bases were loaded. By walking if Bond gets a hit, he's going to tie the game. And if Main gets a hit, he's going to win the game. But he's playing to win, so he decided to go with the lesser bat and try to get the lesser bat. And to your point, Marty, he hit a bullet right at the outfielder, and Buck got away with it.
Yeah, I remember that very vividly, and I remember watching going, okay, Barry's up next. What's he gonna, what are they going to do? Because I'm like, this guy's going to hit a home run or extra base hit, and sure enough, the four fingers came up, and I think my mouth opened up as wide as Barry's because I was like, he's with bases loaded? You know, and then, just like Ron said, you start thinking, well, that's only one run. You know, he's got the lead still, and then you start thinking of Buck Showalter, and you start thinking, just like Ron said, the Tony La Russos, the Jim Leland. I thought it was a very good manager's move at that time after the fact. But at first, I was booing him too out of my house because I wanted to see Barry hit at that time. And, of course, it worked. And, Maine, I remember, he hit a seed to shortstop, I do believe.
Boy, well, I wonder what the analytics said about that.
Well, I got to believe the analytics say don't throw to Bonds, throw to Maine. But I don't know about the percentages on that move. They probably don't like, you know, a single losing the game. But, again, you're on the road and, you know, you're playing to win. So,
yeah, well, good baseball. And you're right, the Buck Showalter, La Russa, Earl Weaver.